Bhagavatam Puranam Anulam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsam Gyanam Amalam Yasmin Paramahamsam Gyanam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Atra Gyana Viraga Sahitam Naishkarmyam Avishkritam Tat Shrinvan Supertan Vicharana Param Vimochendaraha Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It means there's no dharma, artha, kama or moksha, at least in the mundanely conceived sense, in the conventional sense. Herein is described only pure devotional service to Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it's very dear to the Vaishnavas. Yasmin Paramahamsam Amalam. Yada Vishkritam. Here is the knowledge which is given by and relished by Paramahamsas, topmost spiritually advanced persons. Atra Jnana Viraga Sahitam Naishkamyam Avishkritam. Here is described how knowledge and renunciation are employed so that one can act in this world in the service of Krishna without being entangled in this material world. Therefore, one should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam, study it very carefully, apply one's intelligence to understanding the subject matter, and anyone who does so will certainly go back home, back to Godhead. This is the gift of Srimad Bhagavatam. So please take Bhagavatam. You can worship Bhagavatam. Devotees, they're often asking about having deities in their home. You can worship Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. Uttama shloka charitam chakara bhagavan rishihi nishrayasai. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes the character of this Supreme Personality of Godhead who is glorified in the greatest verses. So please read, study, take it very seriously. Srimad Bhagavatam shouldn't be put in a bookshelf with all kinds of other books. How to lower your blood sugar, the one-minute manager, the life story of Mahatma Gandhi, all the Srimad Bhagavatam should not be mixed with these. Srimad Bhagavatam is as worshipable as Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam should be very nicely covered so that this dust jacket doesn't get damaged. Now we have on the floor here, but please don't keep on the floor. Don't step over Srimad Bhagavatam. Don't think this is an ordinary book. You may think, well, it's just some paper and there are so many books and it's some more paper with printing on. But we should know that Srimad Bhagavatam is not an ordinary book. Srimad Bhagavatam is directly Krishna. And we can attain Krishna by studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada said that we should make Srimad Bhagavatam our life. So, it's more precious than life. Once, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was speaking at Mungir in Bihar, on the bank of the Ganga, when suddenly there was maybe an earthquake or something. There was a sudden rising of the water. So the whole area where he was speaking became flooded. It quickly came up and then went down again. So at that time he took the opportunity to speak on the Because the flood that comes at the time of Pralaya, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam and in other Puranas, because the Puranas, they describe the history of the universe. History means what? Description of the past. Right? Well, Srimad Bhagavatam also describes the future history. How can you say there's... What does that mean? It doesn't make any sense. Future history. But what is the past is the future, and what is the future is the past. We're trained in consider... Due to Western education, we're trained to think that time is linear. There's a beginning and an end, and then it's just everything in the past and everything in the future. And that's why they have an idea. God created the world, and then it'll all finish at some point in time, which is true. But what they don't know is that when the world finishes, it begins again. Time goes in cycles. It's not... In the biblical conception, God, the world was created at some point, and at some point it will be destroyed. It'll be finished. And then in the meantime, all of those who don't believe in Jesus, they all get thrown into hell and burn forever. And the rest get bathed in the blood of Jesus. It's a quite, strange theology. And then you get saved. So they have the idea that God, out of some whim, he created this world, or maybe Satan, who's his rival, made some necessity for it. It's very strange. How can there be a rival to God? So he made this world, and then it comes for some time, then there's a day of judgment, and it's all finished. But however long the existence of the material world is, according to this conception, is just a blip, a nanosecond in eternity. So the Vedic chronology, or the actual history of the universe, as given in the Puranas, teaches us of cycles of time. That there is creation, and there is destruction of the universe. It's created and destroyed. But then after destruction, there's again creation. Bhutva, bhutva, paliyate. Again and again there's destruction, and again there's creation. So anyway, at the time of destruction, there are various kinds of pralayam. There are destruction. There's one kind of pralayam which is going on at every moment. At every moment, the cells in our body are being destroyed. We're all rushing toward death. The body is being destroyed. Someone's birthday today, it's always someone's birthday, either today or yesterday. Someone is 3 years old, it means 3 years dead. 3 years already taken off their lifespan. I often say that to people, you're all going to die soon. And they get upset, oh, Swami came to our house and told us we're all going to die soon. He's supposed to bless us with long life. Ayushman bhava. But however ayushman, however long lived you may be, we all have to die soon. We're all going to... It's not a curse. If I tell you you're all going to die soon, it's not a curse. It's just a pronouncement of reality. We're all going to die soon. You have a nice house? How long will the house remain? Probably longer than we will. So... don't be attached to anything in this world. Destruction is going on always. The very nature of this world is that everything is being destroyed. You can do yoga and take vitamin E pills and take life insurance, whatever you do, the body is going to collapse. So destruction is going on at every moment. Then at the end of each yuga, there's some minor pralayam. At the age of each Mahayuga, or the thousand ages, Sahasrayuga Paryantam Ahayad, Sahasrayuga Kavayo Viduhu, the 1,000 ages taken together, that means the cycle of Satya Yoga, Treta Yoga, Dwarpa Yoga, Kali Yoga. 1,000 of these ages taken together make one day of Brahma. So there's a destruction at the end of that, and the universe fills up with water up to the Swarga Loka. And then again the next day, Brahma, he's the creator, he creates every day the universe. And then at the end of Brahma's life, everything is completely flooded. At the end of the day of Brahma, it's flooded. The universe is flooded up to the as far as the heavenly planets, and the planets above that. That is the Tapaloka, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Satyaloka, the planets of the rishis. They remain uninundated. But at the time of Brahma's death, the whole universe is completely destroyed. Everything is flooded. All the universes, the multiple universes, it's not just one universe, but multiple universes, they enter into the body of Lord Mahavishnu. So flood, there's devastation, there's flooding. So with a flash flood, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took the opportunity to speak of flood and destruction. He said that if you're caught in the flood of destruction, then hold on to three books. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Keep these with you. You can let go of everything else. Of course, your bead bag will be around your neck. So always keep your bead bag with you. You never know. Don't leave it behind. So these three books, if you can't hold them all, then you can just keep Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. These books are the most valuable. And then even then, if you can't take Bhagavad Gita, you can just take Chaitanya Charitamrita, because actually Srimad Bhagavatam is to be understood through Chaitanya Charitamrita, through the nectar of the activities and life. Life, what does it mean? What shall we do? We have to use this useless English language, which it's not at all made for advanced spiritual understanding. We say the charitra of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So his charitra, we could translate that as life. But it's not. We say the life of Thomas Jefferson or something, but it means they give the date. Who's a history buff here? What's the dates of Thomas Jefferson? Anyone? No. All right. Well, it's not, I also don't know, and it's not going to affect anything in our lives whether we know or not. So just like they sometimes write Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 1486 to whatever that would be, 48 years more, but he's eternal. Gauranga nritto nitto, his dancing is going on eternally. He's not born, he doesn't die. Avibhav tirobhav. Yeah, let's not get too much concerned about the insect. There's always some destruction. So through Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can actually understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, at the beginning of, or as the introduction to Srila Prabhupada's exposition of Srimad Bhagavatam, he has given a brief overview of the teachings and pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is based on Srimad Bhagavatam, gives the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Quotes, there are many quotes from many shastras in there. Mostly, more than half the quotes are from Srimad Bhagavatam. And the whole of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is based on his relishing of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we especially find how he's relishing the the pastimes of Krishna, as described in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, although elsewhere in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took great pleasure in relishing Prahlad Charitra, Dhruva Charitra, the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. So the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam is fully, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam are completely interlinked. Only the Gaudiya Vaishnavas can understand this. Other Vaishnavas, they may study other, well, Madhva Sampradaya, they study Bhagavatam and also put a lot of emphasis on Mahabharata. And in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, depending on which part of the Sampradaya you're in, but they, well, Vishnu Purana, they give a lot of importance to. And in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, there are commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, but they may, depending on which part of the Sampradaya you belong to, they may emphasize Shruti, or otherwise the Divya Prabandham, which is called the Tamil Veda. In Vallabh Sampradaya, yeah, their emphasis is on Bhagavatam, 10th canto, and Nimbak Sampradaya also. But the actual gist or the deepest, the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam is understood through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the hero of both Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. He is hero and heroine combined. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, he is the Nayaka Shiramani, and are the best of all heroes. And in Srimad, in Sri Chaitanya Charitam, he's taking the role of the Nayaka Shiromani, that he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani, who is searching after Krishna. So please study Srimad Bhagavatam. That can be Srimad Bhagavatam can be entered into fully by those who are receiving the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today I spoke for the first time with Chaitanya Priya Dasi, who expressed to me the desire to study Shastra. So that's a very good desire. Study Shastra. The essence of all Shastra is here. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Bhagavad Gita. What we learn in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita is given in brief, the essence of all spiritual knowledge. And that same knowledge is given in an expanded form, in detail, in Srimad Bhagavatam. And then again, the essence is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So they're all interlinked, and they're inseparable. These three books, plus one more, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada said, these four books are the most important. In the Nectar of Devotion, we have Srila Rupa Goswami's exposition of devotional service, showing how the bhakti is the prema pumarto mahan, that is the actual need of every jiva, of every living being, is to love Krishna. So that is given in Srimad Bhagavatam with extensive quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam. He has established what is bhakti, how bhakti is relished? What are the processes to come to the stage of pure devotion? So these four books are important. So along with chanting 16 rounds minimum or more, minimum 16 rounds means minimum. Everyone should chant at least 64 rounds a day. But Srila Prabhupada has given us at least 16 rounds a day. And we should study Shastra and live Shastra. And in this way, make our lives perfect. Yeah, today these devotees were taking their initiation vows. Chant 16 rounds, follow four regulated principles. That's the minimum. There are many other things understood that we have to do also. Reading Prabhupada, studying Prabhupada's books. Then we can understand what is reality. I'm just looking here at Krishna's... I have the Srimad Bhagavatam open on Krishna's instructions to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita. You've all heard of Bhagavad Gita. There are other Gitas. Uddhava Gita is given in Bhagavatam, 11th canto, which is actually more confidential than Bhagavad Gita. It's longer. There was not a time limit as there was in Bhagavad Gita. Of course, Krishna is time. Kalosmi, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, I am time. So he could stretch the time out. But Bhagavad Gita was short and to the point, although it covers the whole range of advanced philosophy and its practical application. But it's short and to the point. And the Uddhava Gita is also not very long, longer, and of course it's to the point. This chapter is the perfection of spiritual knowledge. And Lord Krishna, in a series of statements, gives definitions of various important terms. Satyam, reality. Satyam cha samadarshanam. Anyaccha sunrita vani. Reality is perceivable by equilibrium in vision, samadarshana. This is described in Bhagavad Gita that how one is not attracted to he's not attracted or repelled by anything on the mundane platform. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni chaiva svapaketa pandita, same thing is said, samadarshana. One sees equally a Brahmana, qualified means he is learned in Shastra and humble, not puffed up. I'm so learned. But vidyadadati vinayam, knowledge gives humility. One who is actually learned must be humble. Someone who's, I'm a PhD, I'm double, quadruple MSc, likes to show that off. He's not actually learned. It means he's amassed a lot of junk in his brain cells, but not actually learned. One who's learned can be. One who's actually learned can begin to appreciate how little he knows. If one thinks I know very much, it means he's a fool. Even if from the mundane perspective, he does know very much. But one who has some vision of what is the scope of knowledge can realize that there's no way that he can... You can't know very much about anything, even if you take an expert. an expert in the mating habits of nocturnal moths in the Amazon jungle. So you could study that all your life and become an expert, but then you may know more than others, but there's so much to know. It's unlimited. However detailed the vista of however detailed we take the subject, there's so much to know about everything. So a humble vidya vinaya sampanne, one who's actually learned, they must be humble. So that's a good husband and wife team, Vinay and Vidya. Humility and knowledge. Knowledge without humility is obscene. It's simply one who wants to show how much they know and show it off. It's similar to the drunken people shouting in the street. It's vulgar. It's not Sundrita Vani, Lord Krishna says here. That Satyam cha samadarshanam anyach cha Sundrita Vani. Sundrita Vani means instruction or speech. Sunrita means very pleasing. So that is not very pleasing if one wants to show, I'm better than you, I know so much. But very pleasing is if one knows Krishna and wants to share that with others. So that is discussed here also. That is stated here. Dakshina Gyana Sandeshaha. Dakshina. What is the translation of Dakshina? Donation? That's not a good word. Charity? The idea of charity or donation means I'm in a superior position. I'm giving to someone less than me who requires it. I'm helping them. So someone came to me today and said, I'm giving a donation. Disciple. I said, you can't give a donation to me. If you give a donation, then you're not, if you think you're giving a donation, then you're not a disciple. Because you should think that everything belongs to the Guru. So you can make an offering. Dakshina means to make an offering. But you can give a donation to someone who's less. Yes, I'm out of my kindness, I'm giving you a donation. But dakshina means to make an offering, but then what can you give? Because everything, one should consider that everything that I have is simply by the mercy of the Guru. So it means to offer back that which we have received, that's all. We cannot give anything to the Guru except maybe problems. But that's what we can give, what should be given, what is the best dakshina? Dakshina jnana sandeshaha. That we receive knowledge from Guru. Guru, it's not, there are so many parts of a guru-disciple relationship. It's not just giving a meal, giving a garland, but one should receive also. One should receive knowledge, and out of gratefulness for receiving that knowledge, one should distribute that knowledge. Srila Prabhupada and Guru. Guru, it's not, there are so many parts of a guru-disciple relationship. It's not just giving a meal, giving a garland, that one should receive also, is of unlimited significance. And we are limited beings. It is not possible to repay the debt that we have to the spiritual master. So Prabhupada wrote that you cannot repay the debt. But if at all you wished to repay, you can attempt to do so by distributing this knowledge that I have given to you. He was encouraging the devotees to distribute his books. So what can you offer? What can you offer to someone who has no material desires? And if one has material desires, then he's not fit to be guru. Then he becomes guruvo bahavo santi shisha vitta paharaka durlabha sadguru devi shisha santapaharaka. Lord Shiva, in one of his many important instructions to Devi, his wife, said there are many gurus who are very expert in taking away the wealth of their disciples. But there are very few who are actually capable of taking away their suffering. So guru takes away the suffering by giving transcendental knowledge, by which one can understand that there is no suffering. I'm only suffering because I identify myself as different from Krishna. That is the cause. What is the suffering of material life? Birth, death, old age and disease. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Then adhyatmik, adibhautik, adidaivik, klesh. Miseries pertaining to the body and mind, miseries inflicted by other living beings, and miseries caused by natural disturbances. So these are the categories of suffering as we perceive them, but the actual suffering for the jiva, these are all symptoms only, actually. There's not the actual suffering. The actual suffering is our separation from Krishna. Because we are not fixed in Krishna consciousness. Which kind of klesh is this? Adibhautik klesh. Don't worry about it too much. Yeah, it's all right. There are so many spiders. It's not going to do any harm. Not to you. The real suffering is that we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna. That is the cause of all distress. And everything else is symptomatic. So if we can understand that, then there is no distress. You say, well, also, guru also gets sick. But the transcendental vision we get from Shastra, we understand that jato deko vaishnave bebaha duk nischoyja neho taha parananda shuk. That one should know that this apparent, what we perceive with our materially contaminated vision as being the suffering of Vaishnavas. Oh, guru is sick, guru broke his leg. We should know that their apparent suffering is only another manifestation of their transcendental bliss. That's all. So that requires spiritual vision to see this. Spiritual vision is not, as is generally misconceived, some kind of hazy, vague, undefined, undefinable, inexpressible. And then we have so many adjectives. What's the noun? There is no noun because it's just. It's just. And then words fail. This is all nonsense. It's definable. The words are here in Shastra. There are words to describe the Supreme Absolute Truth. There are so many. He's called Uttama Shloka. He is defined in the best words. But defined doesn't mean every word that we use, we have to re-understand them. To define something means to limit it. Therefore, we think there are no words to describe the truth because it's unlimited. Therefore, it's undefinable. But if we say unlimited, that's already a definition. And if we say that it's inexpressible, well, that's also another kind of definition. So there are words to describe the Absolute Truth. But those words, they have to be understood by transcendental vocabulary. They can be appreciated by persons who are on the transcendental platform, which is received as a gift through the parampara. No one can understand Shastra by the mundane academic method. These are books of secret knowledge. Just reading them in and of itself does not reveal the knowledge. That knowledge is revealed within the heart. Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita hyartha prakashante mahatma. The understanding of Shastra is revealed in the heart of one who does what? Who studies a lot? Maybe, but that's not stated here. Study in and of itself does not reveal the import of Shastra. But one who has full faith in Guru and in Krishna, to him, to such a great person, all the imports of Shastra are revealed. So what does that mean? We have faith in Guru. Understanding of Shastra is revealed in the heart of one who does what? Who studies a lot? Maybe, but that's not stated here. Study in and of itself does not reveal the import of Shastra. But one who has full faith in Guru and in Krishna, to him, to such a great person, all the imports of Shastra are revealed. So what does that mean? We have faith in Guru. That also means we have to hear from Guru. So it doesn't mean we don't study Shastra, because Guru will only speak Shastra. It's not just, I have faith in Guru, I stick a picture on the wall, I offer incense, and we become some kind of religious fanatic. My guru. But Guru is one. Guru is one means actual Krishna. Actually, Krishna is Guru. Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. This is spoken by who? It's a well known verse. Who said that? Shankaracharya. But he's teaching something different to what the Vaishnav gurus teach. So how can... He says Krishna is the guru of all. He's teaching something different. His philosophy is different. So if all gurus are the same, in as much as they represent Krishna, then how is it that Shankaracharya is defining Krishna, who has a different philosophy to that of the Vaishnava acharyas? We should quote him to say that Krishna is the guru. Then we have to hear from Guru to understand all these subtle points. We have to understand what Shankaracharya says, what we should accept, what we should not accept. When he says bhajagovindam, 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 murhamate, sampravte sanihite kali, nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karane. When he says this, that we should worship Govinda, what's the use of simply becoming an expert grammarian that won't protect you at the time of death? When he says that, we should accept that. That is because that is the essence of Shastra. That is reality. But when he says, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, should we accept that? He says that Brahma is real and the universe is false. Should we accept that? Well, we can accept the first part, Brahma Satyam. But Jagan Mithya, well, in one sense that can be accepted, but not absolutely. It's our perception of it as a place for our enjoyment that is false. That is a false conception. But the universe itself is not false. It can be considered false in as much as it's temporary, but it is not, according to the Mayavadi definition, totally false. And they have, well, of course, Mayavadis, they say that the world is false. They have different theories of how it's false, which is kind of strange. Pratibimbavad, that this world, it's like a reflection. It's not actually real, but it looks real, but it's like a reflection, which is not actually real. But then the question is, a reflection of what? Because they say that the supreme reality is without any variety, without any diversity. Anyway, there are a lot of problems in that philosophy. But Shankaracharya said some things which we should accept. When he says, Bhaja Govinda, worship Govinda, Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru, yes, we should accept that. We can accept. So one requires a guru to guide one through what Sripad Shankaracharya says, Shabda Jala Maharanyam, the great forest of words. Is everyone's speaking something. In the modern age, especially the what's it called? The information age? What's it called? Information age. There's 2 billion websites? Someone was telling me. You know, every idiot and his uncle has a website. Everyone feels, yes, I should have a website. Websites about everything. Well, not everything. It's a lot of things. And especially when it comes to spiritual matters, everyone considers themselves an expert. Especially the drunken people. Everyone thinks, yes, I know. Days or weeks ago, I just came after Mangalarti in our temple in London, Krishna's temple in London, Radha Nandanishwara's temple. I thought I'd go outside and chant, and people or something resembling people were coming out of the nightclub next door, and one of them in a state of intoxication, seeing me chanting, said, "You don't have to pray anymore. It's all finished. It's all answered." Then he went off, and seeing me not responding to him or even looking at him, he just went off. But he felt that obliged to give me some spiritual instruction. So everyone's talking. So, Shabda Jala Maharanyam Kevala Chitta Brahmanam. This is the impersonalists, they like to say, it's all only words. Only words? Well, words are very important. By words relay concepts which are concepts. Words relay the conceptual form of a reality that they describe. Of course, according to the Mayavadis, there is no diversity in reality, so for them, then words become meaningless. But then why do they need so many words to describe that everything's meaningless? They should just shut up. If words are meaningless, then just shut up. Don't say anything. But they have so many things to say about how everything is meaningless. So if everything is meaningless, just shut up. What you're saying is meaningless. They seem to think, what I am saying is very meaningful, but everything else is meaningless. No, we don't say, yes, Shastra is meaningful. And what is not Shastra, that is not meaningful. It may have some meaning at some level. Just like you're all working, doing some job, so you know depending on what you're doing, you may know the ins and outs of various softwares. So knowing that has some meaning at some level. It's not wholly false. But at the absolute level, it has no meaning. Ultimately, it's of no value. However learned one becomes, however prestigious one becomes, death is the great leveler. At the time of death, what's really going to matter is how much we've developed our love for Krishna. So the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, they direct us to understand and love Krishna. Understanding Krishna means to love Him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam prabhatate iti matva bhajante mang buddha bhavasamanditaha. Krishna says, I am the source of all materials and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly, by knowing that Krishna is the source of everything, then, one, it's not just a matter of knowing and saluting and saying, God save the king, or Heil Hitler, or whatever. It's not just a matter. But Krishna is the source of everything, the supreme controller. But the response to knowing that is not simply one of accepting our subordinate position, although that's a very good start and a very difficult one for most people. They find it very difficult to accept that I am subordinate. That's why they become impersonalists. They don't want to accept that Krishna is supreme or anyone is above me. So accepting Him as supreme is a beginning, but it's not just that he's the big boss sitting on top of everyone, but rather He is the object of love. And love is a natural response. Love, it's not something that can be legislated. What are the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga? Well, the rules and regulations are there. Number one is Ado Gurvashraya. One should accept shelter. Guru Padashraya Tasmat. One should accept the shelter of the lotus feet of the Guru. Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam. One should accept initiation and instruction from Guru. And so many rules are given, the fasting on Ekadashis, seeing the arati in the temple, performing Sankirtan. So many rules are given there. But actually the whole purpose of it is to love Krishna. There's no rule, you should love Krishna. That's not given. Why not? That's the most important thing of all. Because you can't legislate it. You can tell someone you should perform Sankirtan. You should eat only food offered to Krishna. But you cannot. This is something which we can enact in our lives, but there's no rule that you have to love Krishna. It's not a rule. It's the purpose of all rules, but it's not something that can be mechanically followed. That comes from following, that should be the purpose of following all the rules and regulations. That all the rules and regulations are meant for this. Smartavya satatam Vishnu, vismartavya najatu chit, sarvavidhi nishedasya, etaya eva kinkaraha. All the rules and regulations, the do's and do nots, are meant simply to bring us to the point of always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting him. And how to think of him? Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana Bhakti Rutama. Favorably, not thinking of him like Kamsa or Hiranyakashipu. The rules and regulations of bhakti do lead us to love Krishna. That awakens that. Awakens the loving feelings. Especially hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The result of that, the result of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna vai Shriyamananam. Krishna paramapuruse bhakti utpadyate pungsam shokamoha vayavaha yasyam vai shriyamananam. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then bhakti, loving feelings for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally arise within the heart and destroy all lamentation, fear and illusion. So we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam, but what shall we gain from doing so? And who should we hear from? There's a system for hearing. There are certain parameters that we have to be within to make our hearing successful. So we should hear from the proper source, as Srila Damodar Goswami told, Jao Bhagavata Paro Vaishnavera Sthane. We should hear Bhagavatam from Vaishnava. Vaishnava means one who is Bhagavat. Srimad Bhagavata is Bhagavat and Vaishnava is Bhagavat. Ek Bhagavata Paro Bhagavata Shastra or Bhagavat Bhakta Bhakti Rasa Patra. There are two kinds of Bhagavats. There is the great Bhagavat, is the Srimad Bhagavat Shastra, scripture. And another is the devotee who is the receptacle, or is who is experiencing the Bhakti Ras, which is the whole purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam Rasa Shastra. Pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Mohuraho Rasika Bhuvika Bhuvibhavaka. We're enjoined to regularly relish the rasa of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now we can only relish the rasa or the taste or the wonderful feelings which are awakened from Srimad Bhagavatam if we actually enter the mood of bhakti to Krishna. But what is that bhakti? How is that? If we hear Srimad Bhagavatam from someone who doesn't actually understand Krishna, they may understand in an academic way or an impersonal way. If we hear from the wrong source, we may be attracted to hear from someone who is very scholarly, but who doesn't actually have bhakti in their heart, then we won't also get bhakti. Words, they convey concepts. For one who is hearing, it's a concept. For one who's in contact with reality, it's reality. When a pure devotee says Krishna, Krishna is dancing on his tongue. For those who are not pure devotees, depending on how they are understanding Krishna, they may perceive, yes, this is the object of my bhajan, of my sadhana, to develop pure love for Krishna. Or they may think Krishna, depending on the concept that they associate with the word Krishna, they may think that Krishna is a Hindu god. They may think that Krishna is one of three major Hindu gods. Or they may think that Krishna is a mythical figure. Krishna is a tribal god who became identified with the Vedic god Vishnu. So many misconceptions may be there. So one has to hear from those who are Bhakta, Bhakti Rasa Patra. Those who are connected to Krishna through Rasa Jnana, those who are relishing the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Svadu, Svadu, Pade, Pade. Tachinvatam Rasagyanam Swadu Swadu Pade Pade. By hearing, one will develop knowledge of rasa, which one can relish the taste of at every step. So here, Krishna, I'm reading from some words from Lord Krishna's instructions in Canto 11, Chapter 19, Text 36 to 39. So Krishna is giving some succinct definitions. Satyam cha samadarshanam, anyat cha sunrita vani, dakshina jnana sandeshaha. We have to relearn everything. Just like you may think, dakshina means donation. It doesn't mean donation. It means an offering. And the best dakshina, Lord Krishna says here, jnana sandesha, that the knowledge that we receive, the relationship with the Guru is not one simply of you smile at him, he smiles at you. It gives knowledge. The knowledge that changes our life and gives us life. Without this knowledge, then where is the life? It's living death. So he gives that knowledge and we can make an offering to him. What are you going to give? You can make the offering to him of jnana sandeshaha, distributing this knowledge. It's also important for householders to give some financial contribution, because those who are earning money, it's an important part of dharma or Vedic dharma that those who are earning money, they must give charity, because otherwise you tend to think it's all mine. So one should give in what is called charity. But that should be given also for the function of jnana sandeshaha. That is the best charity. Giving money for building hospitals so that people can be treated for diseases which they got by forgetting Krishna, so that they can become healthy enough to go back and go on enthusiastically forgetting Krishna. Such hospitals are a form of violence to the jiva. It's not helping them. It's actually helping them go in the wrong direction. So real charity should be given, or financial contribution should be given for the sake of jnana sandesha, preaching Krishna consciousness. So all these words have to be defined properly. Bhakti. Krishna consciousness is bhakti. We say bhakti, yes, yes. I'm also doing bhakti. But what is bhakti? People generally think of bhakti as you do some kirtans and some bhajans and you choose some different gods. But bhakti means savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhok saje. Bhakti means that which is fully focused on the transcendent Lord, who is not an object of our imagination. We say words, they cannot define anything, but there are so many names. Or don't give a name to the Supreme, you cannot give a name, but there are so many names. We cannot fully understand the Supreme. And we may think that, well, if you give a name, it defines him, it limits him. But no, because he has unlimited names, one name will only indicate some aspect of his greatness. So if we say, if we give a name to something, it limits it. But then Krishna himself is called Ananta. There is no end. So if we give the name Vanshidhari, who's holding a flute? So we say, well, there are so many people holding a flute. But then that's Gopal. Yeah, but cowherd boy. Well, there are so many cowherd boys who hold flute. So he's Nanda Nandana. He's the son of Nanda Maharaj who's holding a flute. But then how can you say he's God? There's so many names. Bhagavan, Ishwa, Parameshwar, Jagannath, Vishwanath. Vishwanath is a name for who? Lord Shiva, we generally think. But the real Vishwanath is Krishna. He's subordinate, Vishwanath. Or under Krishna's direction, he takes the role of Vishwanath. So all these things have to be understood. So many things. So it's very good you've taken this Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Jnana Sandesha to you, giving you knowledge. You have to read this. Don't just take it. You have to read it and live by it and associate with devotees and hear the message of Bhagavatam so that we can understand. Just by reading, that will help us to understand. That's the beginning, but we have to hear from devotees also. Again and again, that will help us to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And nothing else can help us in any other way, because the only real benefit in life that we will understand from Bhagavatam is to reawaken, if we can reawaken our dormant Krishna consciousness. So, śrīṇvatāṁ śradhayā nityam grinatas caśvateṣṭitam kālena nāti dīrghena bhagavān viṣate hṛdi. Go on hearing with faith, regularly, accepting this knowledge, endeavoring to understand it. For one who does this, then, kālena nāti dīrghena, within not a very long time, Bhagavān will be manifested within his heart. This is the promise of studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So please study. Those of you who don't have Srimad Bhagavatam in your home, please place an order. They're out of print at the moment. But take Srimad Bhagavatam. Much more important means unlimitedly important. More important than getting the latest, greatest, best TV is to get Srimad Bhagavatam. And much, much more important than getting a house, a comfortable house, is to get Srimad Bhagavatam. If at all you get a house, you should get a house for reading Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the main purpose of having a house. Some place where you can keep the Bhagavatam nicely and study it. Otherwise, there's no need to have a house. You can look after your children under a tree. But you need a house for the Bhagavatam, actually. Without the Bhagavatam, your house is no better than the snakes are living in holes. So, or the crocodiles, they also live in holes that you can see on the Ganga. The crocodiles, they build holes. So your home sweet home is like that of crocodile, which comes out and snaps. So envious creatures. Without taking this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, we're simply cultivating kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, all the bad qualities that drag us to hell. But by studying Srimad Bhagavatam and living according to Srimad Bhagavatam, then we become purified. Then it's worthwhile to have a house. Otherwise, that house is simply the prison by which we become bound more and more in material life. So Hare Krishna, there's a lot more to say about this, and it will, speaking will continue to go on eternally. Let us discuss Srimad Bhagavatam eternally. It's the eternal function of the Bhagavatas to discuss subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan. Please keep your feet away from Bhagavatam, Mridangas, and all the paraphernalia of the Lord, which is none different from Him. So, discussion should go on eternally of what is our relationship with the Supreme Lord, how we are to serve Him, and what is the result of serving Him. But at this point, I shall bring this discussion to an end and request you to all please study Srimad Bhagavatam. Don't waste your valuable human form of life. Study and preach the message of Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Yeah, please say.
You mentioned during Pralayam.
During Pralayam.
Yeah, one day of at the end of Brahma's life, all the universes are.
Yeah, at the end of Brahma's life, they all the Brahmas die simultaneously, and then all the planets get flooded, and they all the universes which are expanded from seed form, they all collapse, and enter again into the hair follicles of Mahavishnu.
So all universes, they get created and destroyed simultaneously?
More or less simultaneously, yeah. Although they may come out at slightly different times from the hair follicles of Mahavishnu. But more or less, the whole material manifestation is manifested at the same time. Same time means, according to Mahavishnu, same time. Within one breathing, within one breath of Him, but that's a long time. From our perspective, there may be some billions of years between the manifestation of one universe and another, but it's all within a few moments of Mahavishnu's transcendental existence, which is also, that time is not material time, so the manifestation of the material universes, it's at the border between spiritual time and material time, between spiritual reality and the material manifestation. Any other question? Yeah, that is the actual suffering for the jiva, is to be separated from Krishna. And everything else is just manifestations of that.
Can you recommend how to change that vision? And how would you...
To change the vision of considering that suffering is anything else but our separation from Krishna.
No.
How we can change it? Well, the whole process of bhakti yoga is meant for that. That I was just quoting that verse. There's one of many verses which describes that. Yasyang vaishu yamananam krishne paramapurushe bhaktir utpadyate pungsa shoka moha bhayavaha. So there, in this verse, three prominent phases of material miseries are mentioned. Shoka, lamentation, moha, illusion, and bhaya, fear. So all these become destroyed by one who hears Srimad Bhagavatam and consequently develops love for Krishna. Just like the sun rises and ignorance, the darkness is destroyed simultaneously. Simultaneously, at the very meaning of the sun rising, or the inseparable consequence of the sun rising is that darkness is destroyed. So the inseparable consequence of Krishna consciousness arising in the heart of the jiva, or being again, or being revived, is that the darkness of ignorance is dispelled, and that ignorance is the cause of all suffering. That doesn't mean that we abandon all forms of intermediate distress relief. If someone's cutting the vegetables here and they cut their finger accidentally, then we should apply a bandage. We don't say, well, it's all an illusion. In one sense it is, but in another sense pain is felt. So that should be treated. But at the same time, a pure devotee realizes that any apparent suffering, he has a completely different vision of it to that of a materialist. That vision raises us above the material platform. But that requires spiritual advancement. We say like that, but when you get a toothache, it hurts, right? So it hurts for a pure devotee too, but on one hand, he knows philosophically it's not me, which helps a lot. And on the other hand, his bliss of Krishna consciousness is stronger than the pain. You got to have strong Krishna consciousness, because the pain of a toothache is pretty strong, isn't it? Maybe a year or two ago I was getting dental treatment. Devotee's dentist. So he was drilling, and he decided to do it without an anesthetic. So it was pretty painful. I don't know why he did that. But somehow or other he decided I didn't need an anesthetic. So it was rather painful, to say the least. And so there I was experiencing this pain. And I thought, well, this is really painful. But anyway, I'm not the body, so it's not me. And then, so he told me afterwards that just when I began, you looked as if you were really a lot of pain, but then you just kind of relaxed. So he said, yeah, it was painful all the way through, but the realization was it's not me, and it's going to be over in due course of time anyway. And my real relationship with Krishna, that helped to mitigate the pain. I mean, the pain didn't stop, but the perception of it can change. So it's not that. Sometimes neophyte devotees think, well, I'll become a devotee and then all my problems will be finished. What do you think? That Krishna is obliged to... I'm a devotee, so when I'm walking outside and the rain suddenly comes, Krishna has to rush down from Vaikuntha and hold an umbrella over my head. Is it? But rather, the knowledge by which we perceive that the suffering that I am undergoing, for one thing, is not suffering in the real sense of the term anyway. And another thing is that anyway, if there's any suffering there, it's because actually I deserve it. I deserve a lot more, but Krishna is giving me a little bit just to help me to realize this material world is miserable and I should surrender to him. That's the vision of a pure devotee. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, another question? How do we know that so-and-so person is a Mayavadi? Because he talks Mayavad.
What kind of scriptures do they follow?
They don't follow any scriptures. Mayavad is totally against any scripture. but they purport to follow. Shruti, the Vedic literature, especially Vedanta Sutra. When someone says everything is one and I am God and we're all God and everything, then you know they're a Mayavadi. There's no ultimate reality. Everything is all one. There's no names. There's no words. This is all Mayavadi gunk. Mayavadis do things like they all hold hands and meditate on the light. And then they say peace. They don't define anything very clearly. They just say peace, love, good vibes, but there's nothing specific. So love, yes, but love means for Krishna, not just some vaguely undefined feeling. But love means love for Krishna. Have you read teachings of Lord Chaitanya? Not all. No, but you have to read the book. There's a book by Srila Prabhupada called Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. If you read that, you'll know what a Mayavadi is. You should read it. Who's read Teachings of Lord Chaitanya? Not fully, that means. A little bit. You should all read. Prabhupada wrote that this is our most important contribution to human society, this book. You should read this. Read all of the books. Hare Krishna. Now we come to the favorite part of the program. It's time for prasadam. Keeps us all going in Krishna consciousness. Well, when will that day be mine when I have more taste for Srimad Bhagavatam than for prasadam? We're praying for that day. Prasadam is Krishna's mercy. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's mercy. So, yeah, please take these books and worship these books by studying them. Don't just leave them in the box.